Hey Saints, welcome to another inspiring episode of Divine Jams Gospel Network podcast on video and audio. I'm your host, Brother Ray, and today we have a special guest whose story is nothing short of extraordinary. She's a Houstonian, a veteran, author, a beacon of light, and the embodiment of resilience. But before we dive into the heart of our conversation, I want to take a moment to thank our amazing listeners for your continuing support. Your feedback and messages truly mean the world to us. If you have not subscribed now, to be sure to like and help us share this episode. One can never know who will be blessed with a simple share. Now, on to the main event. Today, I have the privilege of welcoming a phenomenal woman to the show. She's here to share her journey of redemption, faith, and the transformative power of divine intervention. It's raw, transparent, her truth, and one of the best illustrations of redemption I've read about to this day. Please join me and extend a welcome to the incredible Tarsha M. Green.
Thank you, Ray, for having me. Thank you.
Tarsha, it's truly an honor to have you here with us today, my sister. Thank you just for being on the show. Tarsha, you just released your debut book titled Constantly Redeemed, and it's now available in all major stores and on your website at tarshamgreen.net. That's Tarsha, spelled with an R, M Green, one word, .net. I've read this book, and this is not just a memoir. It's a testament to the power of faith and unyielding love of a higher power. Elaborate on the significance of the title, Constantly Redeemed, and how it reflects the theme of your life's journey.
Ooh. So again, thank you for having me. And as far as the title, Constantly Redeemed, it actually came about while I was writing a book when I asked Jesus, like, how many times will I have to be constantly redeemed for the same sin? Because it's like literally the story of my life, which is how the title came. Like throughout my life, I just kept falling and kept falling, constantly needing God to come in and save me. Even times where I didn't even realize I needed saving, he stepped in and saved me. So it's very significant.
Wow. Incredible. I can already feel the power in your words. And in chapter one, you kicked off with mentioning the challenges, which was one, being a teenage mother at the age of 15. And I can only imagine. But how do you believe, you know, your experiences can resonate and inspire other young mothers facing this similar struggle?
Being a teen mom was very hard, so to speak, but not as hard because I had that support. I became pregnant at 14, very young. And that was because I was out running the streets, doing everything that I wanted to do and not, you know, taking advice from people, not listening to my mom, thinking, oh, she thinks she know it all, like most teenagers, you know. Right. But with other teen moms, I believe that my story would resonate because I understand the shame that comes with it, the judgment that comes with it. A lot of people feel like, oh, she a teen mom. She just this, that, this, and that, which is a lot of times not the case. Like for me, yeah, I was out there wilding out, but there are some teen moms that got raped and even by family members. So you really don't know the story. And at the end of the day, I believe they should not be frowned upon because truth of the matter is it could have been anyone. A lot of people start having sex at a young age. If you did not become a teen mom, it was just by chance, you know? So I think we need to cut them some slack. Not saying I condone it, but just like get to know them better and know the story behind the story.
I'm glad you brought that up, because you discussed in chapter 3, there were labels and reputations, mm-hmm. as you put it, and acquired during your youth. Let me ask you this. How did these labels, though, impact your self-perception? And how did you overcome that societal judgment associated with them?
That judgment, when we deal with judgment for so long, it's something that still carries on in our adult life. Sometimes I'm still like worried, like, ooh, what this person think of me, this and that. But I know who God says I am now. So I try not to let it get the best of me. But as far as those labels that I was given, and I was given those labels such as being the freak, the all kinds of the wild girl, you know, I was given those labels before I even had sex. So a huge part of me didn't realize, like, why was I getting these labels? And once I did start wilding up, I felt like everybody else was in the wrong. I didn't know my value. I didn't know my morals. I didn't know the value of giving up your body, like saving yourself. So I thought I was just normal. I didn't have anyone to talk to about it. So I didn't have the self-perception that a lot of young girls need.
On the show, I have with me Tarsha M. Green, author of her debut book, Constantly Redeemed. And it's a jaw-dropping book, and it's in stores right now, available on her website. You can go to TarshaMGreen.net. Chapter 7 is when I thought that things could not get any worse. And I said that, you know, okay, perhaps she's going, and you talk about going on the upward spiral direction. And I, you know, I said, okay, perhaps we're going to start seeing something going upward by this time of the chapters. You touched on the strained relationship with your mother after the death of your brother. Mm-hmm. How did you navigate through such challenging family dynamics? And what role did faith, if it did at all, play in the healing process?
Oh, that was a very hard time in my life. Still to this day, it's the hardest thing I ever been through, because being a teenager, me and my mom, like, we had conflict, not because of her, but because of me and my behaviors. So then we got on the right path. But then when my brother passed away, like, all of that just went to an end. So not only was I dealing with losing my brother, who I was very close to, I had to deal with losing my mom. My mom had my son at the time. So I had to, in a sense, lose my son as well, because I wasn't able to see him or talk to him like I would have. So just at a drop of a dime, my whole life just went to shambles. And honestly, when it comes down to how faith played in it, honestly, right, I went, like, totally wrong. I didn't seek God for the healing that I needed. Still to this day, I know it was the prayers of others, like my grandmother encouraging me. And that's why I feel like it's so important. I tell people, who you, like, have in your circle is very crucial. If you don't have those praying warriors in your circle, you're in a dangerous spot. Because sometimes we're going to get in spaces to where we can't even pray for ourselves, to where we can't even approach God for ourselves, because we're in such a low place. But thank God we can have people that intercede for us. And it's also important to know that the Holy Spirit also intercedes for us. So it's all thanks to God, Jesus, His Holy Spirit, and my prayer warriors that had my back.
Amen to that. Amen to that. Back in the day, there was the big mama doing intercessory prayer, yeah. the old school aunties. I don't know about these new school aunties. Judgment. But some things that are being seen in today's social media frame is nervous to me sometimes. Right. But yeah, that intercessory prayer is definitely something I can resonate and relate with. Because people pray for me. I talked to you earlier about losing the use of my arm and in a near fatal car accident. Well, the devil was trying to take me out, but I escaped with just losing the use of one arm. But definitely intercessory prayer is something that we all need and should continue to do for others as well. Yeah. Let me talk to you about chapter 8. Because you describe your commitment, right? And living according to God's word, but then you strayed away and you kind of dived into it a little bit, how, you know, you were repetitively doing some things that you wasn't proud of. But can you share a little more about the internal struggles you face during this period and how you ultimately found your way back to faith?
So there have been times where, well, like after, I can't remember the exact year, but once I got on track, realizing that God wanted to use me and I was worth more than what I've been portraying to this world all this time, I'm like, okay, God, I want to get to know you more. And me, I'm thinking, once I come to God, I'm good. I won't have these struggles anymore. But the reality of it is, when we have a lot of unhealed trauma, those demonic influences are still present. So they still have the ability to, like, play a role in how we think, feel. So I was struggling a lot with, okay, if I'm praying to you, Lord, and I'm telling you I want to change, why am I not changing? That was the hugest, the biggest struggle for me. I wasn't understanding why I wasn't getting on the path of righteousness the way I wanted to.
Yeah, and I'm glad you spoke. You mentioned, and you guys definitely gonna have to get this book because there's some unresolved things that we probably won't be able to get into right now. But I think that it sounds very, very, very apparent that that contribute to many things that you were dealing with since it was not being addressed early on. And so, guys, get the book so that you can really read some of these things that she had to deal with. And, you know, anytime you're dealing with this unresolved trauma, and it carries on year after year after year, collectively, these things can happen. In the book, you share your experiences about demonic influences and spiritual battles. And that was a real touchy part when I read it, because I was unable to even grasp how one could even move forward after seeing and dealing with these things. And it was something that really, I just really have to say, I commend you for making it through that part of your life, because I know just seeing a tad bit of demonic spirits, it made me truly, truly say, Lord, I hear you now. But how did you recognize and overcome these type of challenges? And what advice do you have for others facing similar spiritual warfare?
That moment when I realized that I had been truly working with the devil and serving the devil. Oh my goodness. Just the thought of how God took me back in now. Like every time I think about it, it's like, Lord, like you really do love me. You know, I got caught up into this new age practice where I was dealing with the sage and crystals and all of that dark stuff. Like at this point, I had denounced Christ. I felt like everything that we was taught as a people was a lie. I got into this whole demonic realm that I didn't even know existed. And I feel like a lot of people, especially people of color, is getting caught up into a demonic realm without them even knowing. Like for sage, crystals, them tarot cards, if you're like leaning on these things to protect you, to tell you things, like you didn't set up an idol. And that's also very, very dangerous. So I personally would say, like, clean your home of these things, clean your mind, do whatever it is you need to do. I had to go stay with my aunt for a few days, like right when I realized I had been walking with the devil. Mm-hmm. And when I first went back home, now mind you, at this point, I didn't set up altars and I was, it's deep. And I don't even go into this part in the book as much. I think that's a whole nother book. Matter of fact, a movie. It's so much stuff that I've seen and witnessed. So when I walked back into my home for that first time, after realizing I had been with the devil, like chills just came all over my body. I could just feel the demonic presence in my home. And I had to just go through and anoint and plead the blood of Jesus over everything and just put everything in a big old trash bag. Like I really had to go all the way out and trash everything, because I was in it for about a year, so I had a lot of stuff treasured up, so I had to trash everything. So again, my advice is to look, I know it sounds real, that's how I got into it, but deception is made to sound real, otherwise it wouldn't be deception.
Amen so to that.
Definitely, like, seek God, Jesus, and His Holy Spirit, even if you have to have that time to where you're like, okay, Jesus, show me you're real. Show me you. I promise you He'll step in and show you so you can get away from that. Because the time is coming where we won't have time anymore. Yes. You know, so, and I believe this is a time where God is calling His children home. And you want to be on the right side with the Lord, but you can't be dabbling in all this evil at the same time. And there are even Christians that feel like this is okay. They're pleading the blood of Jesus and saging. We can't be lukewarm. We can't be on the devil's side and God's side. So we have to choose this day who we going to serve. You want to serve your sage and your crystals, or do you want to save the Lord? Serve the Lord, I'm sorry.
No, definitely. I get it. And you are absolutely correct. It can be so subtle and it doesn't even appear to be anything harmful or idolatry wise, and it can really seep into your spirit and soul. I think the same thing with music. You have to be very careful of what you listen to. You have to be very careful on the lyrics. One may not think it's so harmful, but again, when you start doing the lukewarm, as you put it, you can easily switch over there and conform to worldly ways. I have to say, I'm glad you caught it, and I'm very happy that you were able to have enough, how they say, faith of a mustard seed. Enough faith of a mustard seed, right, to be able to taste and see how God can reveal and bring you back to His straight and narrow path. We're listening to right now and talking with Tasha M. Green, the author of her new book, just released, Constantly Redeem. And I mean, the name itself is something that really applies to me, because I know I'm constantly being redeemed, because I might have messed up and said some things I wasn't supposed to the other day to somebody. Right. And I'm like, Lord, here we go again. I got to be redeemed. Right. So be sure to swing by Tasha M. Green website. And make sure that you pick up this folks, you got to get this in your hands. Yeah. And I'll be honest with you again, this was the first book this year, definitely, that I've picked up and I started reading. Mm-hmm. And I made the terrible mistake of having something to do that day. And I was late because I didn't put that book down.
Wow.
I kept going and going and going into these chapters because it was written and it was put together so well that it caught my attention and kept it. So it was something that I definitely recommend that those of you who are looking for a book that can speak about redemption and hearing something truthful, right? Somebody that went through some things, truthfully went through some things and can tell you about the encounters she went through. You definitely want to get this book, okay? Please do that. In chapter 10, you express the fear of failing again. So, I mean, I can only imagine, you know, you probably got back with the Lord or what have you, and you thought you was on the right path, but you had a fear of failing again. Yeah. How did you overcome this fear, and what role, again, if faith even played into the journey of redemption?
Yeah, once I learned that fear comes from the enemy, it gave me a sense of peace. I know God will convict us. His spirit will convict us, but it's only to make us better, not to go into this dark, deep trap and where you even backsliding, because that's what happened to me a lot of times. I would get condemned and then just remain in that sin for a long time. So now I don't allow myself to be condemned. I do accept the Lord's correction at any given time, but I don't let it overtake me. And to be honest, like I still, like one of my prayers is like, Lord, keep me near you this time, because I know I'm capable of failing. I would never get to the point to where it's like, oh, I got this, even though I want to be like that. But I don't want to have another Peter moment, like, oh, Jesus, I die for you, and then be denying them, you know? So I try to remain humble, like, and let God know, like, look, God, I can only do this with you. I need your strength to even keep me close to you, you know? So faith now is a very huge, plays a very huge role in it all, because I know what kind of God I serve. It took time for me to get to know his character and his ways, his thoughts, his desires, for me to know how to combat combat being condemned.
Right, right. Yeah. I'm glad you distinguished the difference of fear, because you're right. God is not a man of fear. And you're right that I like to use the word reverence. I reverence the Lord. I respect the Lord. And I what I do fear is that he's not protecting me anymore. Right. I fear that I'm not covered under the blood of Jesus. So I think when we as Christians use the word fear, we're not saying that we're scared of the Lord. On the contrary, we fear that without his protection, without his covering, that the devil is able to do whatever he is willing to do with us without that protection. So I agree that the Lord is not a God of fear. Now, we summed up in the area when I was reading this book here, and I got down to the final chapter, and it talks about redeem. And this is where I was finally happy to hear that we had a conclusion where it came to redemption, at least at this point of your life. So just a turning point in your story. But can you share the moment or the final realization that marked your full embrace of redemption, and what has it done, or how has it shaped your life since then?
So I think my clarity came when I went like a little after I went through that whole demonic realm, like some months later, I moved to Africa. And being out there in Africa just literally changed me. I had that time to just sit and be still. I was out of the America's hustle and bustle lifestyle. So I was able to realize that God really does love me. Like, even though I denounced him and his son and started walking with the devil, like, he still accepted me back. So it took that time alone from everything that I knew to learn that I am actually redeemed and saved for a purpose. I don't believe for one moment that God saved me from that demonic realm for nothing. So now in my life, that's my focus. Like, I feel like that's the least I can do for God. He done so much for me. So at least now let me pay him back with my entire life. And I'm not saying that I'm perfect, but I strive to be, you know. Amen. Like, it's like, I don't want to break his heart anymore. I disappointed him so much. So now in my life, I'm at this point like, okay, Lord, I owe you this. Here I am. Use me. Right. Like, whatever you want me to do, right, this is what I'm here for. So that's Amen. My whole life focus at this point.
Amen. Being a living sacrifice. Amen. That's it. Tasha's debut book, Constantly Redeemed, is in stores. And you can go to her website, TarshaMGreen.net. Tarsha spelled with a R, TarshaMGreen.net. And the paperback is available. It's a raw book. It's a transparent book. It's her truth. And one of the best illustrations of redemption, again, that I've read this year, probably in a couple of years. I really can't recall the last book I read straight through and could not stop wondering how much more can a person endure. It's deep, family. I'm serious when I tell you, and I'm not sitting up here. I think the young people say no cap. I think that's what they say right now.
I think so too.
And for us older people, no cap mean no lie. Okay. No lie. Yeah. Tasha, take us out with your closing remarks or words of encouragement for listeners and the viewers who are watching you right now on video.
I would say for anyone that feel like they have a past that's just too ugly to approach God or just too far gone, I definitely recommend that, even if you don't get the book, I recommend that you get the book, because my story shows you, okay, if he did it for her, I know he'll do it for me. And even if your story is worse than mine, he'll still do it for you. So even if you do not get the book, still like start to work on living that righteous and holy life, because just like I know that I'm not here and was saved for no reason at all, you're not here for no reason at all. Like, God created you for a special purpose. And this is the time for that purpose to be revealed and fulfilled. Don't let this world like get you down. And oh, Ray, I didn't get to mention this, but when you mentioned about music, I'm so big on music. I definitely recommend y'all to watch this music you listen to, because a lot of these stars are making it known that they're not serving our God. It's out in the open that they are devil worshipers. So if they're putting music out that's being influenced by the devil, that's getting into your spirit. That's an open portal. So it's controlling your mind and thoughts. And that's probably a big reason why you're feeling like you can't be redeemed. And that's a lie. So definitely watch the environments you're around, the music you're listening to, anything that you're watching, and just know, like, everything that you've been through. My favorite scripture is Romans 8:28, that says all things work together for the good of those who love God and have been called according to his purpose. So no matter what ugly you did, God is so strategic and so beautiful and so intentional. He can turn all of that mess into something beautiful. So just continue to just have faith and get around other believers as well that can encourage you.
And there you have it, folks. a heartfelt conversation with the incredible Tarsha M. Green from Houston, Texas. With her debut book, Constantly Redeem, now in stores and on her website at TarshaMGreen.net. Remember, Hosea 4:6 says, my people perish for lack of knowledge. God bless. I pray this has been an inspiration. Tarsha, thank you so much. I really appreciate you. I'm going to the bookstore now to get mine. Awesome. I recommend everybody else get their copy. Awesome. God bless
you. Thank you for having me, Ryan.